Welcome to Professor Bob and Professor Sherry's Excellent Adventure to Spain. Today we are on day four. We are going to two places. We're going to go to Girona, and we're going to see the Dali Museum in Firola. Now, this was an interesting excursion. I picked us up at our hotel. There's about 10 of us in the group, two of which were constantly late and caused us all kinds of little problems. But that happens. It's not any big deal. At any rate, we're going to Girona first. Now, I had seen some examples of how this tour would go, and one of them had you going along a certain section, and then you had access to the old walls, because this still had as part of its old walls that you could walk. And that's the one I was hoping for. It didn't say that in the description, but they said that you would see the various things of Girona. And our guide was kind of an interesting character. He didn't appear to be that interested in doing much guiding. He'd give us some information and we would kind of move on. But he really didn't seem to have his heart in it. Probably get an idea what that's like. But he wasn't unlikable. So we went from, of course, Barcelona to Girona, and some beautiful terrain. And then when we get to the little town, I mean, it has its new town and it has its old city. So we're going to the old city. So we park in an area in the newer part and then walk across the main river. And in the flooding that has taken place at the end of October in Spain, there was some flooding in Girona, but nothing really as spectacular as what took place in Valencia. And of course, one of the things I wanted to see is there is a bridge that goes across the river that was built by Eiffel. It's called the Little Eiffel Bridge. It's not very big. It's probably about 20 feet long and probably about 8 feet high. But it is over a relatively deep section where the river comes through the old town. So we get into the old town. We get into the square. We walk around a little bit. And so we begin our tour. And we basically went through the Jewish quarter. Very narrow streets. You know, they talk all about the ghetto where the Jews would have their places and the synagogue. And there was a spot where the old synagogue used to be, but you couldn't go into that particular area. And so we wander through these medieval streets, very, very narrow, probably about 4 people wide. Looked at the wall construction about 2 blocks away. That's what I was looking at. And we went into a couple of stores and then ultimately ended up down by the main church, which we did not go into. We stood at the base of it and he took pictures with us. So that was nice. So he, you know, sometimes the guides will take pictures with the people and sometimes they're really not doing that. But he did. So we got a nice little picture out of that. And then he showed us where the Roman wall was and the reconstruction over the top of it to strengthen it. And we had a little time at that point. And so Sherry and I went out through the main gate to get the shot of what it looked like coming in from another direction, and then took pictures of the wall. There was no access there. And then I walked all the way up the steps to the top where the entrance of the church was to get a little panoramic view, which again was nice. A little tiring, but nice. And I saw that from up at the top there, you know, another half a block away was the entrance to the wall, but we didn't have enough time to do that, so I never got to climb the wall at Girona. So if you want to do that, you probably should contact the tour group to find out if that's going to happen. And we had some extra time, but it was basically just to get back and to where we were going to the bus, but it did allow us to go through the streets and cross the Eiffel Bridge. So as far as I was concerned, I'm okay. It's all right. I would have liked gone up the walls, but hey, you can't have everything. And it didn't say it in the little announcement. Sherry and I were both a little bit disappointed in the, shall we say, intensity of the information given. I mean, I could have picked up a book on Girona and scanned it in 15 minutes and given a better tour of what we were doing. So we were concerned about the next stop, which is the Dali Museum. So we drive down to the Dali Museum. It took us about an hour and 15 minutes. So we're there around noon, and so we have lunchtime. Now, he recommended 2 restaurants, and I don't know what the other one was, but the Italian restaurant, which was right there by the Dali Museum, was really excellent. And the food was great and reasonable, and we had plenty of time to eat, but we were delayed getting in the museum because four of the members of our group waited around just aside on the restaurant, and by the time they got ready to finish eating, we'd already waited 15 minutes. So they cost us some 15 minutes in the museum. I'm thinking, why couldn't you cost us 15 minutes at Girona? So we go to the museum, and we go in as a group. And it's at this point, our point of view of the guide changed drastically. This gentleman was an incredible expert on Dolly. He had spent most of his life, he was fascinated by Dolly, and spent most of his life studying Dolly, taking courses on Dolly. And he knew his art backwards and forwards. So it was wonderful. Now, if the tour had been just to this spot and had it for the whole day, this would have been an absolutely astounding trip. But it was only for half a day. So we had a great time in the museum. And he took us through all the little intricacies of what you would see. So we came in, you come into the courtyard where the Cadillac is. I think it's a 1941 Cadillac, and which Dolly had two of, and I think they only made seven. And it has this gigantic statue on the hood of his mistress and all the other stuff associated with it. And it's like the center of this courtyard. And you go up the different levels where the different levels to the museum. And so it was great, and this guy was so good in doing the Dolly that instead of the 10 of us, there are about 30 of us because the other groups kept following along behind us to hear what was happening. So we then go from the area where you have the, and again, this is one of those things that I will, you know, on my traveling professors thing that Sherry and I do, I will do, this is so visual. This is maybe even a little bit more visual than going to Sagrada Familia because most people are familiar with churches. But when you go to a museum for an artist, particularly as eccentric as Salvador Dali, it's really hard to put the picture in your mind because usually the only pictures most people know about of Dali are, of course, the melting clocks and the Abraham Lincoln painting. But he has all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we go into the next section, which is where his tomb is. In the center of it, there's the spot, and then you go down below into the crypt, and he has his tomb. And then you have all of this work of art and all the way around. And when he turned us around, he said, okay, I want you to turn around, and I want you to see the Lincoln picture. So we turn around. It's no Lincoln picture. It's just, you know, a typical surrealistic painting. He said, I guess I've told you that that was Lincoln. Am I correct? I'm thinking, yeah. He said, okay, you're going to walk 10 feet to your left or the right from where you're standing because you're standing dead center in the middle of this area. And when you do, then you can see Lincoln. And you go anywhere else, you can't see him. And frequently, depending on where you're taking a picture, you can't see it on your camera as well. There's some really interesting camera aspects that we found out. So after we finished there, we started going in some of the smaller rooms. And he knew those paintings did. I mean, he knew exactly what was going on. So he picked this one out, which is a kind of a view of the town, exterior of it. And he said, does anybody have a Samsung phone? And I said, yeah, I have one. He said, well, you can do these with Samsungs, but you can't do this with an Apple phone. And so he said, I want you to look at this picture, and you see where the town is, and then you see the outlying area with the hills. He said, now I want you to see this green spot right over here. And I mean, it's a tiny, tiny little spot. He took my camera, took a picture of that spot, and then blew it up. It's like a whole nother little town in there. And then he said, this happens all the time. And he said, now you see the road up here on the hillside? He took another picture, and there was like a whole caravan of things going along there, all done with a single bristle on his brush. And he said, there you could, in most of his art, you can do this all over, all the time. He said, so it's not just, oh, look what I've seen. There's all sorts of things that he has mixed in. course, there's a room dedicated to Mae West, and so there's all kinds of material there. And so he gave us an incredible view of the art. And I particularly like Dolly because I own one, not a famous painting. But in the 70s, he was contracted to do the illustration for a Divine Comedy book by Dante. And so I was at an auction where they sold the artist proofs. So in other words, when he did his lithographs, and they were then printed, the very first one that was printed was then sent to him to okay it. And when he okayed it, he signed with his, there's different signatures, he signed with his regular signature. It still said Dolly, but it's different from what you would get if you found a print or something else. And there were artist proofs. Well, they had all of them there. I think there were 15 of them, 14 or 15 of them. But this was in Springfield, Missouri. The people came to buy the Indian artifacts and jewelry. They didn't come to buy Dolly. So normally what would take place is nobody bids. The auction company will just say, well, then we're just not going to sell any of these. But they had put the advertisement in wrong. They had to sell them. And so he said, any bids? I think he stopped at 800. He wasn't going to go any lower. I said, all right, I need somebody to start us. And so I said, $100. And he said, oh, thank you for 800. I said, no, I said 100. His eyes rolled up in his head, and he nearly became an alien. But in the end, I bought it for $180. It was the only one I bought. I couldn't afford any more. So my wife and I had just been married, and you know, I'm a graduate student, but I couldn't turn that down. And I've tried to find copies of the book, and every time I do, they're thousands of dollars. And I think you can still get prints of these, and they're thousands of dollars. And somewhere there's somebody that probably has all of those artist proofs except mine. So I like Dolly anyway. Best $180 I've ever spent on a painting. And by the way, it came framed. So we went through the rest of it, took more pictures, talked with him, because I had to ask him, I said, what? He said, I just got fascinated with it in my 20s. And that's all I wanted to do. And I just read everything you could possibly do and went to college classes. And I said, it's just amazing. He said, yeah, I know, I'm probably not as enthusiastic in Girona. Yes, it happens. I had to teach things I wasn't crazy about either. And so then we were about to leave, and the two people that had been late all along, they were late too. But we finally found them, and they came. And one of the guys says, John, I just want to do what I want to do. Well, get a private guy to do that. Don't just do this other and mess everybody else up. So that was what we did with... On that day, it was fun. It was a relatively, about 2 hours out and back, something like that. But the Dolly Museum left a really good taste in our mouth for this particular tour. So that's what we did on day 4. Now, next time, we'll be doing our gaudy thing again. We're going to go to Park Güell and to... the Pederis house on the same day. So we'll see you again later. Thank you.